Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 3. In verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The wise man who is endued with knowledge will show out of a good conversation his works. Really, his works means more like his manifestations with meekness of wisdom. Not meekness and wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Now, out of that phrase is the Greek word ek, and it denotes origin. And so we know that out of a good conversation, these works with meekness of wisdom come forth. Now, this is equating a wise man endued with knowledge to being one of a good conversation. The word conversation is anastrophe, and it's from the word anastrepho. And often we think of this as lifestyle, and indeed that is one of the meanings that can be an appropriate application. But a lifestyle that comes from where? The word anastrepho literally means conversation, to have a conversation, to speak with one another. And so there is this connection between a good conversation as we understand it, good speaking, and being wise and endued with knowledge, which then produces works that are sourced in the meekness of wisdom. This conversation is incredibly important. The word meekness is proutes, and it means gentleness of spirit or humility. The conversation is connected to gentleness of spirit or humility of wisdom. That is to say that without humility, without gentleness of spirit, there is actually no wisdom. Wisdom being the skillful application of doctrine. The skillful application of doctrine is basically the result of a believer operating in faith. When James 2:20 said that faith without works is dead, the works that it's talking about are not religious works. The works that it's talking about are these works manifested in humility and gentleness of spirit. They are the works that come as the result of the skillful application of doctrine, and they originate in a good conversation. And again, the conversation that we're referring to here is the most essential, most basic meaning of the word, not so much a lifestyle, although that does get incorporated, but the actual words that are spoken. There is a very direct relationship between the works that are spoken and a godly lifestyle. Now, a godly lifestyle, we have to be careful, that is not talking about being religious, working things up, or what have you. A godly lifestyle comes when the believer is guided in all truth to the point where the throne of grace becomes governmental in his heart, because the Holy Spirit is guiding him in the Word of God, and he is living by every word in Matthew 4:4 that proceeds from the mouth of God, and this is speaking the word rhema, not logos, referring to the word that he lives by. Rhema is, of course, the word of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit for the particulars of our individual lives. So, in order to have this kind of a lifestyle, where the word of God becomes governmental where the Word of God becomes the faith that I have, where the throne of grace is reigning in my heart by means of the Holy Spirit guiding me in all truth. First, I need this good conversation. In Revelation 12:11, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our own life unto the end. Now, in order to have this good conversation, the conversation very frequently is our testimony. We don't often think about our testimony beyond the superficial, where we say, well, this is how I reveal Christ to other believers. This is my testimony. Yes, on the one hand, that is a testimony, but on the other hand, this is not your personal testimony that will overcome the devil. A person can fake a certain type of conversation, but it's not a conversation whereby they can overcome the devil. If I'm to overcome the devil, the conversation must be real. It cannot be the result of striving. It cannot be produced as a good show in the flesh. It can only happen if it is real. For that matter, what point is there even in following God? What point is there even in going to church? What point is there even in being a Christian if it isn't actually real? If all I have is pretend, then I'm simply going to pretend all my life and hope for the best in the end. But really, that is not in any way what God has intended for the believer. God wants things to be real. God is not looking for fake Christian-y production. God is looking for a faith that is real. And it doesn't have to be real through some sort of a striving effort to produce something in myself. That's not where it comes from. It has to be real in as much as it actually has to take hold of my thinking. And that is far easier and far more simple than any production anyone can come up with. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There you have it. In Ephesians 4:22, we put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Concerning is the word kata, and it refers to a source. Put off regarding or coming from the former conversation the old man. The old man came from the former conversation. That which is carnal came from a carnal conversation. That which is worldly came from a worldly conversation. And it was corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, lusts can be something like sensual lust. Yes, there's 6 basic lust patterns. One of them is sensual. But lust is really anything that I desire ahead of God. Anything that I regard and I pursue at the cost of my life with God is a lust pattern, and it is also a type of an idol. When I put off these former conversations that were corrupt according to deceitful lusts, my capacity is open to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. This is how it works. Pay careful attention to this, because for both those who are successfully living with God, have a rich relationship and a rich life with Him, and for those who are either struggling or perhaps carnal, this is how it works in both situations. Words produce thoughts. That may not initially seem intuitive to us. but words produce thoughts. We think that thoughts produce words. It's the other way around. Words produce thoughts. When I have a thought that I think will produce a word, this is not actually the thought. This is either, in the case of the spiritual person, something that I'm receiving from the Holy Spirit being imparted to the human spirit originating in the Word of God, hence that which is of faith. Or for the carnal person, it's something that is originating in my emotions, reflecting a perceived condition. The fact that you feel must never be misconstrued for being thought. This is one of the problems that we are seeing in society today. I don't remember who it was. It was a very smart man who said this. Unfortunately, I don't remember which very smart man. He was observing the condition of certain young people today as a whole, and this is not to criticize young people. If you identify an issue, then the issue can be dealt with. If the doctor identifies the illness, then the illness can be dealt with in terms of cure. Likewise, what this man was doing. He was not trying to criticize, and nor are we. We are simply identifying something whereby the solution, the cure, can be discovered. He said that young people today often, certainly not in all cases, it's not that they don't think, it's that they don't know what it means to think. And the reason is because they have been so conditioned to feel and to be emotionally oriented that the fact that they are feeling is misconstrued for thought. And he was quite right in what he said. Thought and emotion must never be confused. Feeling is not thought. Feeling is a response that has nothing to do with thought. What will sometimes happen is the feeling will initiate and then the mind will cooperate. And this is not a good situation. This is the groundwork for carnality. What we want is the Holy Spirit to initiate some aspect of God's Word that pertains to us and then let our mind respond to the Holy Spirit's initiation of that Word of God. In any case, words produce thoughts. Somebody may say to themselves, this is too hard for me, because their emotions are overwhelmed. So their emotions are communicating to them, this is too hard for me. And they will say this both in their own mind and frequently out loud. This is too hard for me. I can't do this. How often have people said that? This is too hard for me. I can't do this. I can't put up with this any longer. Devastating statements, really, if you think about it. These are not thoughts. These are words. And the more that I repeat these words stemming from the emotions to my mind, the thoughts will take over. I'll train my thoughts according to my confession of my emotions. Likewise, but to the opposite side, if I seek that which is from the Holy Spirit, the definition for my circumstances, let's say, and I turn to the promises of God. And the Holy Spirit is ministering the word because I have humility to my thinking. Then the Holy Spirit will speak to me in doctrine. And I may face the same exact situation as the person who says, this is too hard for me. I can't do this anymore. How can I continue any longer? And the words will be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The beautiful thing about doing all things through Christ is it literally means all things can be done through Christ. We often think to ourselves, well, I can be a missionary through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Or you can be the janitor also through Christ who strengthens you. Or you can be whatever it is that is going on in your life. You can overcome it. You can handle it. You can face it. You can deal with it. You can grab a handle on it. You can do anything you need to do to be victorious in it, through it, with it, what have you, through Christ who strengthens you for that very thing. It doesn't matter what the thing is because he strengthens you for all things. So let's say that I have a difficult job. And I may say to myself, I can't do this anymore. Or let's say that I'm in a difficult relationship. And I say to myself, how can I deal with this anymore? The person who is responding to their emotions, those will be their confessions. Those will be the words they speak to themselves, stemming from their emotions responding to their circumstance or the perception of their circumstance. Likewise, the person who is listening to the Holy Spirit will also speak to themselves. Difficult job, difficult relationship, difficult what have you, financial situation, whatever it is, difficult health. God is faithful. God will never leave me nor forsake me. God is my comforter. God is my healer. All things are possible with God. There is nothing that I cannot do through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing whereby I cannot be an overcomer. Who can come against me? What circumstance, what person, even what demon can come against me in Romans 8? If God is for me, he loves me. Who can bring any charge against me? God is for me. He loved me. He cleansed me by his blood. There is no condemnation. Even if I messed up royally, there is no condemnation. I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. If a situation is overwhelming, I shall grace, grace unto the mountain, and the mountain becomes a plain. And I have something to work with from the mind of God. That strengthens me, that quickens me, that encourages me, that comforts me, and that gives me everything that I need in order to be victorious. Words produce thoughts. We speak these words to ourselves. Paul said, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, turn to the Word of God. Let that become your source of thinking. Speak to yourself according to the Word of God, according to the promises of God, according to the character of God, according to truth. Speak to yourselves, and it will produce the right thought. Words produce thoughts. Thoughts produce reflections. Imagine that you've spoken the right words to yourself, or perhaps the wrong words to yourself, about some circumstance in your life. If you have spoken the right words to yourself, then the reflections you have will be reflections on the ability of God and your ability to overcome through Him. If you speak to yourselves the wrong words and thereby have the wrong thoughts, your reflections will be ones of insufficiency, of frustration, of weakness, of inability, and so on. Be careful about the words that you speak to yourself. If you catch yourself saying something like, I just can't, or this is too much, understand that those are sourced in the wrong place. The enemy is utilizing the circumstance to project to your emotions some form of weakness that you don't actually possess as a believer. As a believer, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Utilize Him. You have Him guiding you in all truth. Respond to the truth that He is guiding you in. Don't say to yourself, this is the difficulty. Say to yourself, this is God's faithfulness in my circumstance. Take the promises of God and line them up to whatever it is that concerns you. Because then you will be thinking correctly about that issue. As you do that more and more, your reflections will either strengthen or weaken you depending on the source, depending on the words. If your emotions weaken you, then you will most likely go into a negativity spiral. Negativity spirals often end up in intrinsic evil. They end up in unbelief toward God, often accusation toward Him or other believers. On the other hand, if your reflections are sourced in the Word of God being ministered to your frame of reference by the Holy Spirit, then your reflections will be encouraging. They'll be strengthening. They'll make you bold in the right measure. They'll give you confidence, not in yourself, but in the faithfulness of God and His ability toward you and His willingness to come through for you. They'll be tremendously uplifting and edifying, even in the worst of circumstances, because your thoughts, sourced in the right words, will produce good reflections. Reflections will produce decisions. Most decisions that people make are not spontaneous and on the spot. And even those that are spontaneous and on the spot are sourced in something far deeper than a snap decision. They're sourced in a mindset. They're sourced in a frame of reference. And so these decisions will be produced by your reflections. If a reflection builds you up, then the decisions will frequently be edifying yourself or somebody else in the midst of whatever's going on. On the other hand, if your reflections are incorrect, then your decisions will manifest your reflections in some form of negative either behavior or attitude or some type of decision that has been made, but in the negative realm of things. It doesn't have to be outwardly wicked. Eventually, it can easily become outwardly wicked. But it results in some form of negative manifestation. Perhaps you get discouraged or depressed. Perhaps you get angry. And these decisions first are toward how you will think, how you will respond inwardly, and ultimately decisions produce actions whereby it is manifested outwardly. Watch out for the words. It all starts with the words that you are willing to entertain, with the words that you are willing to speak to yourself. Watch out for the words. If the words do not line up with the Word of God, then cast down those words in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Don't entertain them. Catch yourself. Yes, you will need a little bit of discipline in your thinking. That's never hurt anybody. Catch yourself. If the words that you are speaking to yourself, the conversation that you're having in your head, if it is a negative conversation, stop having that conversation immediately. Have the discipline of thinking whereby you can control the words. Some people will say, well, I can't control it. Well, indeed you can. If the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, you indeed can. The thought that you can't control it, more often than not, is simply an indicator of undisciplined thinking. You can control it because the Holy Spirit strengthens you to do that also. You can control it. Some people say, well, I'm striving if I control it. You can call it what you like. And I imagine if you're not accustomed to it, it will seem like striving. But it's better to be obedient to the Word of God and call it striving than to not strive right into sin. And so, if you want to call it striving, you can. Eventually, though, it won't be striving. Eventually, it will come very quickly and easily. But your source does need to be the Word of God. If you don't have that source, if you don't have a daily intake of the Word of God, minimum, bare bones minimum of an hour, then yes, it will be striving and it will be unsustainable. But if you have that Word of God producing the mind of God in you, then it's simply the choice between two, and I choose the better one. And there is no difficulty in that. Decisions produce action. Once it gets to actions, the person has been quite long in their process. Decisions produce actions. Actions will produce habits. And this is where things can go very far south. Let's say that a person is given to lust mentally. With that kind of initiation, words to their mind, whatever that first set of words, that first conversation is, that is lust-filled, whatever that is, get rid of it. Because if you don't, it will produce thoughts, which will then produce reflections, which will then lead to decisions, which will then produce actions, which will then produce habits. People who fall into adultery or fornication. People who become abusers. People who become drug addicts, alcoholics, what have you. People who are into pornography. As wicked as those things were, they did not take place overnight. There was a process where the wrong mental conversation took place. and allowed for the wrong thought, the wrong reflection, the wrong decision, the wrong action, which eventually led to a wrong habit. Such habits can destroy people. And the reason is because habits produce lifestyles. The whole life is taken over, and it starts with words. The whole life can be taken over by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and it starts with the right mental conversation. The whole life can be taken over by sin. When the light that you had turns to darkness, and how great is that darkness, this is where it starts. Somebody tolerated in their thinking, if not even openly, the wrong words. A woman complains about her husband, and 5 years down the road, she is so negative, she walks out on him. A man so admires maybe a woman's physical attributes, and 5 years down the road, even if not with the same person, he is entering into an illicit relationship. It starts with words. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, at the Bema Seat, we will be rewarded with gold, silver, or precious stones. Or we may suffer loss because we have built in our lives with wood, hay, and stubble. Very quickly, for those who may not know, gold speaks of faith, silver speaks of redemption, precious stones speaks of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which starts with love, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Every man's work, in verse 13, will be made manifest. For the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. When the fire comes, and that, of course, is strong testing, a trial, a difficulty, a tribulation, a challenge. When it comes, be particularly careful to guard your words mentally. Be particularly careful that the words that play out in your mind as the first reflection, as the first initiation, rather, as the first response to the trial, that they be words from the Word of God. Words of the promises of God, words of doctrine, words of the character of God. Make sure they are words of God. Be careful that they do not become words of the emotions, speaking to your mind. If they are words of God, and you are disciplined in maintaining that, then you will be rewarded. Because from those words, you will enter into thoughts. From those thoughts, you will enter into reflections. From those reflections, you will enter into decisions. From those decisions, you will enter into actions, which produce habits, which produce your whole life. From those words, you will either end up responding in faith, or you may end up responding in redemption, things like forgiveness, things like forgiving yourself, things like counting on the blood of Christ, things like mercy, things like kindness. Or you will suffer loss, and it will be reflected in wood, hay, and stubble. Wood is things of the old sin nature, hay is things of the flesh. Stubble is those things that you started and never saw through. One of those will be the result of the wrong words. In Proverbs 23:7, as a man reasons in his heart, so is he. The reflections of your heart form who you are, and you are rewarded on the outcome. In Colossians 2:23, there is an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, in false humility, and neglect of the body. In other words, appearing not to be self-oriented and neglecting yourself for the sake of the appearance. But these are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. A person can become very religious, and they can enter into a lot of religious activity, a lot of religious rituals. But those are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. A person can be self-deprecating, or even have a bad self-image, or they can, in some cases, pretend to be humble so everybody will see how humble they are. But those are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Those things are meaningless, they are pointless, they are powerless. They add nothing to you, and they add nothing to your life with God. Instead, in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. I take in the word of God and I store it in my frame of reference. The heart speaks of the frame of reference. And then that which comes out will be according to the word of God. Likewise, I can take in that which is produced by something like the emotions or the initiations of the world even. And I can let that become my frame of reference because of wrong words leading to wrong thoughts, producing wrong reflections. And an evil treasure will come out of my heart. Now, I'm not saying that every time somebody confesses something that is difficult to them, that that is an evil treasure. An evil treasure is that which is initiated by the enemy's kingdom and becomes my reflection. And it's often through the emotion. And the result of the evil treasure will be that that which is evil comes out. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Your reflections will come back to you. It can turn into a vicious cycle. Negativity in confession will breed negativity of thought. Negativity of reflection comes from negativity of thought. Negativity of reflection can result in a negative confession. The negative confession will then initiate a new negative thought, and we start going in circles in a negative cycle. Likewise, a godly confession will result in a godly thought. A godly thought will result in a godly reflection. Often, a godly reflection will result in a godly confession, which will then come back to initiate a new godly thought. And again, we have a godly cycle taking place here. These things can snowball, and often do. What we want them to do is snowball in the right source for the right outcome. We do not want them to snowball in the wrong source to the wrong outcome. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth which is good. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Many times people have this mental conversation, they speak to themselves in frustration because they did not receive what they wanted. In this, they get the wrong thought. Then they get the wrong reflection. The reflection will often produce more wrong words in their thinking, but it also then can lead to wrong decisions, and so on. Don't consider wanting. If Christ is your Savior, then there is nothing that He will allow you to lack. If you have the perception of lacking, then more than likely you are either in a testing process like a momentum test. Will you continue despite the test? Or you are in promotion for some form of reigning, or God is developing you into His own character. These are the only reason why wanting of a bona fide source is permitted. If it is not for one of those reasons, and I am still wanting, or really any time that I am wanting, then I have to ask myself, what and why am I wanting? Am I wanting according to the Word of God, according to the heart of God? Or am I wanting out of my old sin nature so that the pressure that the sin nature produces in me can be released or appeased or somehow dealt with in a very carnal manner? Let your conversation that you have in your mind be without covetousness. In 2 Peter 2:7, Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. He allowed these words to be present. He kept himself in the company of those who had these words. And it vexed his soul. Lot had this wrong word in his mind. It was want. And he looked at the fields. And he saw that the fields near Sodom and Gomorrah were lush with vegetation. And so he took his herds where the grass was green. And Abraham went in the other direction. The problem was that although the grass was green, the words were wrong. And not only his words were wrong, the words of the entire city were wrong. Those words led to a perversion because of which God destroyed the city. Lot got to the point, after calling Abraham his uncle, after wanting to follow after the man of God initially, where he was calling the Sodomites his brethren, and offering them his virgin daughters to do with as they please so that he could look good for his guests. He vexed his soul. Instead, in Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation comes from the Holy Spirit. Our conversation comes from our position in Christ. Our conversation comes from the place that we have seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God in our Savior and our Savior in us. Our conversation comes out of our position, and our experience will eventually match our position thereby. We never have a mental conversation based on circumstance. We have a mental conversation based on truth. And if I can do that, then I realize that my circumstance is very trivial, no matter what it may seem like. In 1 Peter 3:2, there is a conversation that is chaste and coupled with fear. And that, of course, is the correct fear of God. This is the conversation that I want. This is a perfect conversation. Chaste being pure in the Word of God, connected to the fear of God, so that the fear of God will protect the Word of God in my frame of reference. When this is my conversation, then in James 1:22, I become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Hearers only deceive themselves. In verse 23, James continues, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets the manner of man he was." What is this saying? That when my conversation starts in the Word of God, but does not continue there, then it will turn back to a carnal conversation. If I do not continue in the Word, if I do not continuously build myself up, then I will enter into my default condition. And because I have an old sin nature that is located in my genetics, the default condition is carnality. So I have to maintain the Word. I can't just hear the Word. I have to utilize the Word. And it starts by utilizing, repeating the Word in my thinking, letting that be my words, in my thinking regarding everything. Let the Holy Spirit take the Word that you've received, and let that be the internal conversation regarding whatever it is that's going on in your life. This person in verse 24 will be blessed. It's not hard to overcome. Actually, it's much harder not to. Not overcoming is painful. Not overcoming is exhausting. Not overcoming is so difficult. Overcoming is so edifying. Overcoming is so easy. Overcoming produces rest. All that I need is the right source for my words. Rather than coming from the carnality of emotions, apart from the Word of God, they come from the Holy Spirit, who utilizes the Word of God in speaking to me. And He'll encourage with the Word of God. He'll comfort with the Word of God. Sometimes He'll correct with the Word of God. He'll edify with the Word of God. He'll instruct with the Word of God. He'll build each believer with the Word of God. This person is blessed. This person then has the right words producing the right thoughts, the right thoughts producing the right reflections. Often those reflections turn again into right words producing more right thoughts, strengthening the right thoughts. The right thoughts will produce the right decisions. The right decisions will then produce the right actions. The right actions will produce the right habits. the right habits will produce a wonderful lifestyle. High quality of life is achievable for absolutely everyone if they are willing to have a good conversation. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.